right, welcome back to Hard Facts. 7 minutes gone past five. My name is Constance Mega. So let's talk national security. All right, so we are aware of what happened in Kaduna State following the train attack that left about seven people dead. Well, so far, I think the National Railway Corporation says about how many people now? I think 40-something people are yet to be accounted for. But away from that now, the Kaduna State Governor, Nasil El-Rufai, has vowed to hire mercenaries to fight terrorism if the federal government fails to do its job. And he was asking, why isn't that up till now? The security has not gone to kill them. Why? Where are our soldiers? Why have they not done it? That is why I have come to see Mr. President. And also, I have said that if these actions are not taken, it becomes a must for us as governors to take measures to protect our citizens, even if it means we will import mercenaries from outside the country to do it. If our soldiers fail, I swear to God, we will do that. This issue has gotten to an alarming state. He actually disclosed this in an interview conducted in Hausa language. Okay, now, to join me for this conversation is a security expert, Ife Nwanogo. And of course, he joins us via telephone. You're welcome, Mr. Ife.
Well, thank you. My pleasure to be here.
All right. Well, of course, some SANs, we'll get to that in a bit, though. They have said it's not possible. It's not within the purview of the governors to hire mercenaries to tackle national security issues. So first of all, Mr. Ife, my question is it possible to stop entirely the activities of terrorists in a country like Nigeria?
Well, I think that if you aim for the stars, if you miss them, then you'll be able to hit the clouds. So I think that should be part of the aim of the Nigerian government, to stop terrorism entirely. But of course, if you have, if you reduce it to its very minimal and you have a very sparse few and far in between occurrences, you know, and that are not really significant, you would say you have made so much progress. So yes, you may not be able to say that you can eliminate terrorism entirely from every country, but you can reduce it to the very minimal where it doesn't become the order of the day and it is not longer, it's not a norm in your society. What we have is a situation where terrorism, banditry, insurgency, armed criminality appear to have come to stay. They are becoming tractable. So yeah, I think the government should aim to stop it entirely. And in trying to stop it entirely, of course, you are bound to reduce it drastically.
Now, my next question would be, how can we do that? I mean, if someone like a governor of Kaduna State, of course, Kaduna State has actually been in the news for this kind of reasons, talking about insecurity now. And over time, some persons have said, what is the governor doing? It seems he's not doing anything because we keep hearing these things happening over there. What are the governors of the northern states doing? And then this governor is coming out to say, from the look of things, it's like things are not working the way they should work. If they're not going to move as fast as I expect them to, I'm going to hire mercenaries. And well, of course, we all know that governors are the chief security officers of their states. So how can this be done? How can the fight against terrorism be won in Nigeria? If someone is already talking about foreign mercenaries, of course, some people have said it's unconstitutional for any governor to import foreign mercenaries. So is this something even the federal government can do?
Okay, so we have a very difficult case in our hands because the governors seem to be logistic officers for the police and other military formations in their states right now. And the security, as far as national security is concerned, is under the exclusive list. Even regarding policing at the local level, it's under the exclusive list. But what can the governors do? We Kaduna State is very peculiar because the governor of Kaduna State today, Malam Nasir El-Rufai, had admitted previously, years ago, that he had in fact and indeed paid mercenaries or paid bandits, these are not mercenaries,
yes,
bandits off so that they will not come and carry out criminality in the area. And he regretted that this was done, and he now you know, made a bold case saying that he supports an extermination of these people, but he was only concerned about the collateral damage that may ensue. With regard to whether we can actually tackle this, you know, the problem we have, before I move to what we can actually do to solve it, is that we have governors who, more often than not, get to be very politically correct when they make their comments. So they pander to one side of the political divide, political narrative, or otherwise. Sometimes you find the governor saying that things are very bad, they want things to change. And the very same evening you interview him, he's praising the commander-in-chief and praising the Nigerian military and saying that they have made sufficient progress. So I find it difficult to reconcile the positions, the reality on the ground, and some of the commentary of our political office holders. So because of their political affiliation and leaning, they don't want to call a spade by its proper name. What about the governors? Now, what can we do? Like, it is very hard, difficult for us to make any headway as a country if we don't have sufficient capacity. But of course, starting first is to agree and note that you have a problem. You know how long it took for the federal government of Nigeria to agree and to admit that the bandits were indeed terrorists.
Yeah.
In fact, the way the terminology, the way banditry crept into our national lexicon is still astounding, is still surprising many Nigerians. Because it was like, for me, it was like a calculated introduction to the national space. Well, everybody said they were terrorists, the government said no. Finally, the government, after several years, after much damage has been done, finally agreed, and I understand has been gazetted that the bandits are indeed engaged in terrorism, because banditry should be stealing. But if people have become methodical to hit soft targets, to unleash untold hardship and damage, to decimate lives and property, you know, become a threat to everybody, you should define terrorism by its proper name. So that is what it admits you have a problem. And then be sincere, show the requisite urgency to solve the problem. I do not think that, or rather I would say, I think that there is much more that could have been done that is not being done. With regards to the urgency, we are operating our national security space as though it was some parastatal that every now and again will come back. I was monitoring the defense and security budget on one of the TV stations a few days ago. And from 2015 to today, there has been a steady rise. And we have not seen that commensurate steady decline of security incidents. So what does it then show? Are we just throwing money at a problem? Has it now become a cash cow? If you ask me, I would say yes. Because we have now seen that this particular problem must remain for money to be spent. But if you have sufficient capacity in terms of training, in terms of manpower, in terms of modern technology, in terms of the armory and equipment, if you have all these, together with partnerships with international bodies, the Interpol and other neighboring countries and international organizations, terrorism should be something you can deal with very easily, if you really mean to. But we have a problem where sometimes it is our very selves that excuse the activities of terrorists. We now say that, they are businessmen. I recall when somebody was comparing them to insurgents, like IPOB agitators for the state of Biafra. Somebody said people were only businessmen. They were not asking to tear the country apart, and they should not treat them as though they are treating the IPOB people. What kind of commentary is that? So, if we are sincere that we want to defeat terrorism, then we'll go all out to defeat terrorism and insecurity. Because the Nigerian constitution, the entirety of the coercive powers of state, resides and rests entirely with the federal security agency. When you now find other non-state actors wielding the powers of coercion, and we have ungoverned spaces without the government trying to consistently build capacity to bring every part of the country under correct, democratic, and law and order rule, then there's a problem. That's what we are facing now. So I do not think that sincerity and urgency is there yet. I think that we are still paying lip service to the situation we have at hand. If we do the needful, okay, a few days ago, just to add this, I digress. It was in the news that about 350 or thereabouts so-called repentant Boko Haram members were to be reintegrated. This for the umpteenth time. So the war is still on. The war on terrorism and insurgency on banditry is still on, and you continue to reintegrate. And there have been cases, in the public domain, in the news media, of such people that you supposedly have reintegrated, going back to perpetuate more crime and criminality in society. So what are you talking about? It's not a case of you have said, we have dealt with the definitive blow, and we want to move forward. And then we're trying to do confidence building, demobilization, and reintegration. What we have is that we are fighting somebody, we have wives of soldiers becoming widows, and they have seen people who have killed their husbands in battlefronts, being so-called supposedly reintegrated into society. You call it Operation Safe Current and what have you. I think it is nonsense. It's very insincere. It is not the way to go. It speaks of somebody who doesn't really know what the strategy is about with regards to tackling insecurity and terrorism, if you like.
Now, I'm looking at a particular report here that says that Nigeria's military strengths under Buhari administration, datafight.com. So it says Nigeria's military is ranked the fourth in Africa and 35th in the world with respect to strength. And this is according to data from Global Firepower. And according to that data, Nigeria has had constant military growth since the beginning of the Buhari administration. So if we have a military strength that, of course, in the world is seen as something good, how come at home, from what we're seeing nationally especially, it's looking as though it's not reflecting?
Oh, okay. I don't think that our military strength today is as good as it used to be, say, 20 years ago. I think
it was much better, though.
Come back with your last.
Yeah, I said it was much better, though, because 30-something,
and for good reasons, is that we had a better military years ago, because at that time, we did not have a military that has been so thinly spread across the country. There is hardly any state in Nigeria today where you don't have a military operation ongoing. Well, the military is supposed to be exclusively for external aggression against the interests of Nigeria and our territorial integrity. But today, the military is involved in internal crisis. And one thing we must think about is the people who bring all kinds of data which is also growth. Now, military expenditure, rising military expenditure, the country expenditure is not tantamount to growth.
Okay.
And that's the mistake they make. That maybe you have 100,000 soldiers before, you now have 130,000, or you spent 200 billion naira against 1 billion naira before. It's not also tantamount to growth. What is your capacity to tackle issues and get them definitively dealt with? Have you made progress in that regard? And I think not. So, those people who come up with such statistics, I think something is amiss, really. We're not talking about expenditure. We're talking about, in the true sense of the term, are we making progress? There is so much expenditure being spent. We hear they have bought some new ammunition, new weapons, to camel jets, and what have you. Beautiful. Now, what difference have they made as far as insecurity, terrorism, and banditry is concerned in northern Nigeria? That is the problem. So, if you have not been able to put this to rest, and you are almost in your seventh year of office, when will you put this to rest? So for me, I think we must admit that our military needs to be rebuilt beyond the resources, beyond much more money and manpower. We need to retrain. We have to partner with the best from the world, partner with them, and retrain and redirect your military. And then, while you are doing that, you must empower the police to play its traditional role of law and order, so that the military will not be tackling issues that only the police should handle, or the Nigerian Security and Civil Defense should handle, or the Coast Security Service should handle. The military should be exclusive for external aggression. And then, when they are overwhelmed, you bring them in. But now, military are supposed to be the first line, first response point, most of the time in the country. That is not the way to go.
Well, maybe because of the issues we have at hand is an issue of terrorism. So it's something military has to be called in for.
Yeah, they can be called in, but ordinarily, should the military be the number one agent defending terrorism? No, it's supposed to be the DSS, in consonance with the NIA. Then the military can come and give support. Terrorism is something that must be intelligence-driven, correct? So it's not because you think military is the most powerful, they have the most weapons or the most manpower, and therefore, they must be the ones to deploy. No, they don't have the local intelligence that the DSS and other agencies have. So it must be intelligence-driven. You must have an organization like the DSS being sufficiently empowered, propped up, to provide direction. And this can only happen if the commander-in-chief is holding the feet of the different service chiefs. The chief of army staff, chief of navy staff, chief of air staff, chief of defense staff, and then DSS and the IGP to the fire of accountability. You cannot come to a meeting today. Every time you have a bomb blast somewhere or an attack somewhere, you summon them to a meeting, you give marching orders, and you wait for the next attack. No, we must find a way to map out, to profile the entire black force in the country, map out the areas where you think you have the criminality. It must be based on hardcore intelligence through proper tradecraft. Persons who have this information and intelligence, accurate, actionable. And then you steadily clean up the entire state. I was just talking with a friend and colleague about the issue of equipment to safeguard our trains in the Abuja Kaduna area. And I asked myself, are the trains not within Nigeria? If you put everything you want to put in on the trains from Abuja to Kaduna, is it the same for Lagos Ibadan? You go to Warri, it's like, is it the same? Are they not in Nigeria? Your approach should be, we must decimate criminality in every part of Nigeria where it is so that you don't find it comfortable to remain. Otherwise, if they see that you are building capacity in Lagos, what do they go to Ogun State? You go to Ogun, they move to Ondo State, and you keep on moving like that, later they come back to Lagos State. So this is not the way to go. We must re-strategize. We have a problem with our security strategy in this country, and then tactics as well. It's also a problem.
Now, before I actually let you go, some people have called for utilization of local vigilantes to fight crime in the country and, of course, to tackle insecurity, even with the level of insecurity we have up north, terrorism. Some persons have said if we engage the locals well, they could actually help in the fight. What's your take?
Well, I want to align myself with such thinking, and I agree entirely, because the truth is that law and order and security at the local level must be homegrown. It is a bottom-top approach. So you don't deploy people from Abuja or from Kaduna to go across the country and provide security. You don't even know the nooks and crannies of the community. You don't know the nooks and crannies of the so-called forest in Sambisa and what have you. They do not know. So you need persons who have local knowledge, who live in that particular area, who speak the language, who know the culture, who know the hideout, to be able to be integrated and embedded fully to your national security architecture. You must find a way to capture that. So even if you have the DSS and the military and the police coming in, there must be a local element that provides the legwork and the groundwork. Even in foreign engagement, you will find that if the FBI is deployed somewhere, they must rely on local knowledge of the local police in America for them to do whatever they need to do. So you must not negate, you understand, the influence, the importance of local and vigilante, whatever you call them. It must be homegrown, but of course, they must be properly harnessed. They don't exist in isolation. If you don't provide direction for them, you don't provide leadership, you don't try to organize them properly, you will not make any headway. But yet, as far as I'm concerned, you must utilize local knowledge, local leadership, local manpower.
Well, I must really thank you, Efe Wanogo, security expert. Thank you so much for speaking to us on this issue of national security.
Well, thank you for having me. My pleasure.
All right. Well, of course, we have commercials coming through. And after that, I will open up the phone lines and we will get to talk. I'll get to hear from you what you think about the conversation so far. My name is Constance. Don't go anywhere.
We take off with the biggest conversations with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Hackett.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts.
Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station. And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
All right, welcome back. Before now, we had the conversation about national security where I had a conversation with Efe Wanogo, who is a security expert. And so before now, the governor of Kaduna State, El Rufai, well, more like threatened, you know, to go get mercenaries to fight the terrorists who are ravaging his state. But then some senior lawyers have warned him that he doesn't have the right to hire foreign mercenaries. We have about three of them, Femi Falano, Ahmed Raji, and Michael Zekome. They said it is unconstitutional for any governor to import foreign mercenaries to fight terrorists in Nigeria. And they are maintaining that it is not within the purview of the governors. President Buhari remains the commander-in-chief and is the only one who can approve the deployment of mercenaries. And I remember I was asking Mr. Efe, so how then can we fight these terrorists? Is it even possible to put their activities to a stop and we will not have to hear that terrorists are doing one thing or the other anywhere in the country? Well, from what he says, well, we can bring it down to the barest minimum, and then we can actually say that we're really doing something in that regard. And I referred him to a particular so it's something about the military ranking, exactly, a particular ranking of the military in Africa and in the world. And Nigeria was ranked, or is ranked, the fourth in Africa. And he says, some of these rankings, it's about how much was put in. That's what they're looking at, or the number of persons that got into the military. But that's not what it should be. So he's more like, we shouldn't necessarily be trusting these rankings. All right. It's based on what we have going on in here. What are we seeing? How far are they doing what they're supposed to do? So I want to hear from you, though. What's your take on national security now? We're talking national security. What do you think? Can terrorism be stopped totally in Nigeria? What's your thought on that? 0817-923-0002. Welcome to Hard Facts. What's your name?
Yeah, first time. Good evening.
Good evening to you.
Yeah, this is Ebi calling from Port Harcourt.
All right, Ebi, I'm listening.
Yes, Governor of Kaduna State, Elrufai, have threatened that the government will go and hire mercenaries to find bandits. As if I had, is Elrufai tired? Why calling on mercenaries to come and fight the bandits? You know the bandits you want to send in here?
Hold on. I can hear you, but it seems you can't hear me. Hold on. There's something I'm trying to clarify here, because you're saying something else now. So the conversation we're having now, I'm asking a question. All right. Okay. I'm asking about the possibility of ending terrorism in Nigeria. And Governor Elrufai, I never said or read that he is calling on mercenaries. He said he will. If not that he is calling on mercenaries to come over and take over. No, that's not what the story is.
No, I get the point. I get what they're saying. That, okay, let's assume that what he's saying is a suggestion, right?
Mm.
He's suggesting that let's get mercenaries to fight the bandits, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not asking. You suggesting to get mercenaries. Are you tired? Because he is the man who is defending these bandits when they were kidnapping, killing, even attack NDA. They defended them, that these people are doing business, that they are doing business of kidnapping and getting money. They are not bandits, they are not terrorists. So why calling now? Why suggesting now that, look, they should get mercenaries? You see, Elrufai, for me, has the message, the info to tell Nigerians about these bandits of the thing. They have declared war against the Kaduna State, but you never knew.
All right, thank you for calling. Hello. Good evening. What's your name?
Good evening. My name is Susie. I'm calling from Merima community.
All right, you're welcome.
Yeah, I have listened to your conversation between you and Efe Wanogo, that he spoke very erroneously. Now, the issue of national security, and you mentioned something that was suggested by somebody about linking issue of security with the local, with the locals. And then you said something at the closure of your conversation with him that the locals understand more about the hearing. They even know the people, don't know the rules and all of that. But with the problem between this situation and our law, we have been Palano, Michael Zekume, this has been the issue about local vigilantes. The local vigilantes are more like people who are an orphan. These are people who have minds voluntarily to do this job. But because at the end of the day, after doing this job, even we have a situation here where I can use as a premise within River State, where we, after a period of time, where we have issues of this insurgency or insecurity in River State, a particular organization like us, after they embark on this responsibility, people started using the issues of law, which is more sacrosanct that they are not recognized by the law. And even if federal government will employ them today, the law will still go against them. This is the situation. And at the same time, again, the politicians might not even want to empower the local vigilantes, because some of them, I don't want to say by assumption, they know one or two things concerning what's happening in the community. But because they will make this rule to remain standing for themselves, they go looking for what to eat. That is the situation we have with the local vigilantes. That is the reason why they are not active. So if the government can make a law where the local vigilantes can function, and then they will pay them, give them their stipend, where they will not go out of their way to begin to look for what to eat with their family, I think that will make better for us. Thank you very much for my community.
All right. Thank you very much. Okay. You can also join the conversation on Facebook and on Twitter. Head on there. Drop your comments. Okay. Someone here says, as veteran of the Armed Forces of Nigeria and member of ECOMOG military operations in West Africa and state of Liberia and Sierra Leone, the governors don't, I repeat, don't have rights to hire foreign mercenaries to combat criminal elements, bandits. It's solely for the weak federal government in Abuja can hire. Like in Sierra Leone, hiring executive outcomes to fights RUF rebel in Freetown during the brutal civil war in West African state. It's highly worrisome on the present security situations on ground. Morals low and lack of intelligence gatherings to tackle the advances of the terrorists. Your name is Jean Bobaraye Karibo Nelson from Ogu Town. All right. Thank you very much. My name is Constance Mega.